Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the truth. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's burdens will seem so small when we see Christ. Yeah, I love bringing out those oldies. They may not be the most popular, but I like them. So, it's cool. Anyways, we are going to preach from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read from chapter 1, continuing on, and we're going to read 29 through 31. If you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 29, continuing in Jesus' name. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. And anon they tell him of her. And he came, and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at eve, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and they were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and he departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore I came forth. And he preached in their synagogues and throughout Galilee and cast out devils. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We're not coming here with intellect. We're not coming here thinking that we know something above your word. But we ask, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, and allow that this word would speak, and men in flesh would be silent. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you need? What do you need in life? I can't look into your life and figure out what you need, what your struggle is. I'm the pastor of at least 200 people. We might have a roll call here of 150 to 200, depending on how you look at it. Pastor Chuck was out of town this weekend, and I had to do a few calls for him. I have parishioners that end up in hospitals. I got to go deal with them. I wish that I could be superhuman, that I could look into your life and try to give you what you need. But you know what you need. It may not even be clear to you what you need at times, but you know maybe if there's something lacking, if there's a struggle in a certain area, you have a better insight of that than anybody else in this room. We have a tendency at times to focus on other people's needs, and we have a tendency to focus on other people's issues, and I have to question within myself when I do that, am I just avoiding my own needs? And I'm not talking in a selfish way that I need a new car. Spiritually, personally, what do you need? There's a lot of need. There's a lot of struggle in this world, and I know that you also are facing it too. And you have definite success, and that's wonderful that you have successes in your life too. But it still doesn't take away from the fact at times we have this necessity in our life saying, I'm missing something. I am too. But see, even in Jesus' time, there was so much religion. As we've talked about this before, there was religion on every corner. There were Pharisees, there were scribes, there were Levites, there were all kinds of people, high priests, regular priests. There was all kinds of people to do all kinds of religious acts. There was no problem there. You could find religion anywhere you wanted. And then if you weren't even of an Israelite and you were seeking for religion, the Greeks had more gods than they had hair. But it wasn't fulfilling. We live in a day and age where maybe we feel focused, no doubt about it, on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's awesome. But then we have a tendency, and I'm just guessing, I'm not saying or accusing, that we can get distracted. And we can look in other directions for contentment, for peace, for healing, for strength. I don't know where you turn. And it's not an accusation. I can only speak from my own heart. That oftentimes I have to be reminded, even as this text reminds us, that there are huge amounts of need. In spite of all the religion. We saw Jesus heal last week in the synagogue. He went to the place and he did not hide from anybody. He went directly into the synagogue and he started to teach. And we heard last week how even in the synagogue there was one that was possessed of the devil. And we heard how the devil acknowledged in reality who Christ is. And he spoke on a plural form, did you come to destroy us? But yet he spoke in the singular in reality when he said, I know who you are. So he not only as the adversary spoke for the whole immense of adversaries, but he also spoke very directly, I know. We dealt a little bit last week how we talk about there are those that would question faith in people's lives, and I think that's detrimental. That how they turn around and they'll quote scripture and say, well, even the devil believes, but they leave off that most important part and trembles. Because the devil understands and knows this is his end. Now we're given a scene where Jesus, after he heals that individual in the synagogue, he enters out. He enters into the community. And so it says right away, and I love to bring that out in the aspect of Mark. Mark is very emphatic, it's instantaneous, everything's immediately. There's no monkeying around with Mark. When Jesus speaks, things happen. When God speaks, things happen. So it says, right away. Right away they came out of the synagogue. I've got to switch to my ESV so I can see what I'm doing. Immediately he left the synagogue. And he enters into the house of Simon and Andrew. We know this as Peter. Jesus, in reality, is now entering into Peter's home. And when he goes to Peter's home, he has James and John with him. And it says something very, very interesting here. Simon, who is Peter, what's the problem? His mother-in-law is sick. That should raise, actually, an eyebrow in our understanding of things. Do you know that the Catholic Church considers Peter to be the first pope? That's honorable. I have no problem with that. But they say, in reality, that priests and popes can't get married. Well, if Peter was the first pope, it says that his mother-in-law, so it seems to bring to my attention that he was a married individual. His mother-in-law lay with a fever. And they share this news with Jesus. He comes into the home, and I don't know, the scripture doesn't give us privy if she was in a different room or if she was in a different area, what was going on there. He enters into this room. And right away, they bring a need. They bring a need to his attention. They tell him about her and how she is sick. She's down. Do we do that? We just did this morning, and I'm sure we do it often throughout our day. That when we hear of someone in need, we have this ability to bring it before the Lord. That is a privilege. That is such a great privilege. That we would never take that for granted. That we have this opportunity. So when they tell Jesus about the mother-in-law being sick, Jesus doesn't waste any time. Immediately he comes out of the synagogue, he heads into Peter's house, and it says immediately they tell him of the sick mother-in-law, and he goes to her. We have this tendency, and I'm no different than anybody else, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be safe, but we hear, especially during this day and age of the way we're dealing with the flu this season, we hear of someone being sick, we want to go the opposite direction. But Jesus doesn't do that. He enters into where she is, and it says that he took her by the hand. He extends himself to her, and he takes her by the hand, and what happens? She's lifted up. She is healed instantly. And it says her fever left her. And to what point did this fever leave? To the point that she was able to serve. This is not just about a bunch of guys sitting around the table asking a woman to make sandwiches. That's not what this is about. This is showing to the extent of the healing that she received. That it was perfect. And that she had the ability, once again, to enter into a functioning role. And even in this application, we could see it very powerfully because she's serving those of Christ, that she has this ability to enter into the service of the ministry. That's what ministry really means. Do we understand that we seek for healing, we seek for restoration? Maybe it's from physical illness, maybe it's from financial battles, maybe it's from spiritual battles, maybe it's from depression, I don't know. Like I said, what do you need? What do you want? But then also, if we ask of the Father to take care of the issues in our life, are we willing to serve? Too many times in my life, I've treated God as a sugar daddy. Well, Lord, I'll make a deal with you. You just take care of this issue, and then I promise I'll be a good boy. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll do this, I'll do that. Or I won't say this anymore. I won't think this anymore. I won't practice this anymore. Whatever your flavor, I don't know what it is. And we have a tendency as human beings to want to make a deal. He doesn't want a percentage of our life. I've heard that statement made before. If I won the lottery, I'd give 10% to the Lord. Wonderful. Well, some people are extremely generous. If I won the lottery, I'd only keep 50% of it and I'd give the other 50% away and help people in need. Wonderful. That's a beautiful thing. God doesn't want 10% of our lives. He doesn't want 50% of our lives. He has redeemed 100% of our life. He is the one who has made the investment. He is the one that has come to this earth in spite of all its hatred towards him. He is the one, in spite of nobody calling for him to come down from that cross, who went upon that cross and gave himself for you and for me. We love much because we have been loved much. We give because we have been given. Jesus didn't come down here, and I know it's sarcastic, but he didn't come down here and say, well, I'm going to pay for 25% of their sin. And they better figure out how to make up for the 75%. He said, I will come and I will lay down my life in their behalf, that they would no longer have sin imputed on them. He gave 100%. He takes her by the hand and he lifts her up, and the fever instantly left, because illness cannot overcome Christ. These earthly circumstances cannot overcome or overpower the Christ. And she began to serve. Now we need to keep this in clarity. She served for a period again. But let's not fake ourselves. Let's not pretend that God is only concerned with our earthly well-being because she died another day. That's cruel, I know. We can think that's harsh, no doubt. God has purpose. God reaches. God strengthens in and through His body by showing in reality the great and power of His kingdom. But God, He's not only concerned with our earthly life. He wants 100% eternal. As I've stated before in my past that I was healed of cancer, but the reality of it is that I will die another day. I'm not putting anyone else in that category. I know of myself. I was spared for a purpose. And I'm not saying that I am a great banner of serving the Lord, that's for sure. I am as frail as anybody else. But when I read a text like this, it does come to my mind that we have been given a purpose. She was healed. She got up and she served. It's amazing. How do we serve? She was most likely doing her domestic duties or whatever it may be, and I'm not trying to be politically correct, it's just that's the way it was, you know? But she did it as unto the Lord. We don't have to go climb a mountain. We don't have to make some great announcements and hold banners up in the middle of some foreign land. We in reality serve God in every capacity and everything that we say and do. There are times where Jesse probably, by the grace of God, does a fair job. And there's a lot of times where he doesn't do so hot. But God doesn't want us to stop. But by the power of His Word, through the power of His Holy Spirit, that we would enter into this world as a light because it has so much need, and that we would encourage through the gospel, through helping hands, whatever it may be, that we are empowered by the power of that Spirit. She got up, she started serving them. And it says very plainly, not only was there a need within that home, not only was there a need in that synagogue, but in reality the whole community was in great need. That evening, at sundown, they brought to Him, people were coming in droves, all who were sick, and also those that were oppressed by demons. They were bringing them to Him. Can you imagine the hope that they had? Can you imagine that there was finally a relief? Have you ever experienced that? Where you finally have gotten an answer? Where you finally have received some confirmation of an issue in your life? And I can only go from my experiences, so please don't think that I'm bragging or anything else. I'm very blunt about my life. I was sick for 9 months when I had cancer. I didn't know what was wrong. I went to the doctors numerous times. I had all kinds of tests done, and they kept saying, it was in here. It was in my head. And I was to the point, literally, where I thought, well, I got to give up. My wife thought I didn't like our marriage. I thought maybe I'm not supposed to do ministry. I couldn't figure out what else I could take out of my life to fix the problem. And then finally, I got so sick, I went from 210 pounds to 165 pounds. Good weight loss diet, that's for sure. But I could not keep food in for more than 10 minutes. finally, the tumor stuck out so big, the doctor finally saw it. I don't blame the doctor. All my blood tests came back perfect. Everything was coming back perfect. But I lost enough weight that it actually shone, laying on a table. The point being is, I finally had an answer. I finally had an answer. And I was so excited to have an answer, even when they told me that I had B-cell lymphoma. You know what? I didn't care! I had an answer. I wasn't crazy. And I knew that God could use this for His honor and for His glory. I knew that God is greater than the circumstance going on in my body. But I finally had an answer and I had the ability to seek help. They were all thinking my wife and I are flipping out because it didn't seem to register with us at the hospital. They were getting counselors in there and everything because they didn't think I grasped it. Finally, I said, I know I have cancer. I could die, but at least I have something. I got an answer. My doctor told me very straightforward, this is serious. I said, I understand that. I said, you are the doctor. You deal with the medical stuff. I am the pastor. I will pray. Because my God has an answer before I ask the question. He looked at me and he said, Jesse, I'm not much of a religious man. I said, well, I'm not stupid. I'm going to pray for you too. Our circumstances are not dictated according to the world. Our circumstances are not dictated to how the world sees our circumstance. Our circumstances are in the control and the dictation of God the Father, the Mighty One upon that throne. But do we turn to Him? I'm not talking about faith healing. I had no problem dying. I know it sounds cocky. Drove down to my first PET scan with my wife. On the way down there, our whole discussion was, what are you going to do if I die? Might think it's negative. It's a reality of life, people. I told her what to do with my tools. I told her what to do with the house. I told my wife to bring a date to the funeral if I die, because I don't want her controlled by me after. Till death do us part. What do you want? Do we turn to our God in time of need? They brought His attention to the one that is sick. The whole community now is coming because they have a need. And He didn't turn them away. This is the beautiful part of our God. He didn't turn them away. God always has an answer. Do we understand that there is healing no matter what? See, Jesse sometimes wants the healing only to be on this side of earth. And praise God if it is, but there's another day to come. Last night I got to be with the Petrelis family. Their 80-year-old grandmother, mother, and wife took her last breath at Omega House at about 6 p.m. Her victory is won. Is it sad? Yes. We will miss her. Yes. It is our natural desire to live, and that is good. That is healthy. But we are not people without a hope. She was healed. She lived with COPD for years. And she is healed. By the finished work of Jesus Christ, she is healed. He has sought best for her to receive a new body. People, I want to tell you something. And I'm not acting like I know much. But too many times in life, we treat heaven as a consolation prize. And it is not. It is the victory. In God's due time, in His perfect time, it is a victory. There are some that God has chosen to call at a younger age. Even the Scripture says that maybe they may not suffer the things that they would. We don't know. But we do know that God loves us so much that He brings restoration where it is needed. So they came and they brought their people to him. And he started to, in reality, see this mass. The whole city was gathered together at the door. Can you imagine that? You open your door and all these people are just thronging. And it says, and he healed many who were sick of various diseases. And he also cast out many demons. There's no doubt about it. And you can imagine, he wouldn't even allow them to speak because they wanted to give a testimony. They couldn't even speak because that's not what it's about. It was about the power of his kingdom showing immediate reaction or action in their lives. This is the other interesting part too. Jesus, he had committed himself to the flesh. He had emptied himself in reality of his Godhead to serve even unto the punishment of death for us, to redeem us. So he was limited in scope. There's another part of scripture that talks very powerfully about how Jesus says, see the things that I do? He's telling his apostles. He says, the things that I do, you will do greater. You'll do greater things than this. And we often turn around and we get some Benny Hinn syndrome where we think we're going to get up in front of everybody and knock people down and cure everything and things like that. And that's wonderful and great. If it works, good. He's not talking about greater in magnitude. He raised people from the dead. How much greater can we get? He's talking in scope. We're now massed out throughout the 12, then from there to wherever numbers, they told two friends. You know that commercial? But anyway. The point being is now in scope as the power of the kingdom of God, as his ambassadors upon earth, we have the ability to go into furthermost parts of the world, as he even says. That we have this ability. Not of ourselves, but by the power of his word, through the power of his Holy Spirit, by the faith that is given, we can enter into a world and we can speak life into the dead. They all came in great droves. They were just outside of his door. And he healed as many as he could. Absolutely. You can imagine, it was just probably hours of this. He was tired. Fully human, yet fully God. And after he healed many of them, it says, in the morning, while it was still dark, early in the morning, twilight hours, it says he departed. And what did he do? He went into a dark place to pray. He took a moment. He took time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you want? I'm not talking about some sort of prosperity gospel. I'm talking effectually for peace in your life. What do you need? Ask. Jesus, fully God, but yet fully human. In reality, needed the consolation of the Father, needed the strength of the Father, needed that communal time that he would spend. How often do we, and I'm not accusing, I ask the same of myself. How often do we take the time to refresh? Simon and them, they were searching for him because he disappeared. He couldn't even be gone for a little bit to pray because there was such a need. And he says, everybody is looking for you. Can you feel that? That there is such a need. Everyone is seeking for him. And he says, that's fine. But we need to keep moving. We need to go to the next towns. This work cannot stop. It's not by just the needs here. It is the need for the world in reality. He says, we can't stop. He says, let me go into the next towns. And did he say, to heal? Oh, he will. That's a byproduct. That's a bonus. Jesus says, we need to go to the next town for what purpose? To proclaim. To proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the first and foremost proclamation, that people would know the victory of Christ. He says, let us go to the next town that I may preach there. He says, that's why I came out. This is my purpose. I didn't come just to work as a sugar daddy to heal people. I didn't come just to feed people so that their bellies would be full. I came to give life through the proclamation. And it says, he went through all of Galilee, not hiding, not staying away, but preaching in their synagogues. And in reality, overcoming the kingdom of evil, casting out demons. Jesus says in another part of the gospel, just as I have been sent, I send you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, first and foremost, what do we want? And do we spend time in the Word? And do we spend time speaking to our Father, asking in reality that He would be glorified in and through us? That we could be a living testimony? And then also, do we now keep it to ourselves? Or do we hear the words He says, this is the purpose I came? May we enter into this world in boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit, not speaking of ourselves, not speaking of my great ideas or my politics, but speaking of Him, Jesus the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world. Do you want peace? It is found in Him. Do you want provision? He has a food that is never ending. It is in Him. Do you want consolation and forgiveness? It is in and through Him. May we remember that. May we live bold in this world, not just for others, but knowing the forgiveness for ourselves. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. We know, Father, that Your Word is powerful and is mighty. We don't need our own words. Rather, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we speak the truth through Your Word. Father, we ask that You would be with each and every one of us this upcoming week, that You would allow us to take a few moments every day just to read Your Word. That also, Father, we do it prayerfully, that this Word would speak to us and encourage us, not turn us into religious robots, but encourage us in Your truth and in Your wisdom. We ask that You'd be with us as we have a traveling home today, that You'd keep us safe. We ask that You would also allow us to celebrate this kind of a national holiday with the Super Bowl. We ask that You would just keep everybody safe also for that. And that, Father, most of all, we would exemplify You to our family, to our friends, and to the unknown around us. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.